Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
Welcome to the 313th edition of the Illegal Motion College Football Podcast. Once again, I'm Matt Perkins. And joining me, a hop, skip, and a jump across the Harpeth River here in Music City, it's our own offensive coordinator, the coach, Corey Burton.
Well, it's that time of year for your creative ways to tell the audience that I live very close to you. A hop, skip, and a jump is really, really good. I liked when you were giving me imaginary routes.
Cool. Coach, we're 313 episodes in. I've run the whole route tree multiple times at this point. I need some new concepts at least.
There you go. Hey, you know, we love it.
Only
man.
So many we times it. We can run a smash fade.
Just yes. Do every form of transportation, a hovercraft across the Harpeth River.
A quick skateboard across.
Well, we can't get started without the third amigo in the second city, a man who has a new hat tonight. It's our own intrepid blogger from Big Ten and Counting, Josh Cook.
Well, I'm wearing my dead fish hat because I felt like it. And there's a story that goes along with this very generic. What brand hat is this? A couple summers ago, I was out in...
A couple summers ago, you started your new job at Bonefish Grill?
I did, yeah. No, a couple summers ago, I was out in Port Jervis, New York. It's like out in the Poconos. And we were going whitewater rafting down the Delaware River. And I forgot my hat at the Airbnb. Thankfully, they sold these beautiful trucker-style dead fish hats. I am jinxing it, though. The tag on the inside very clearly says outdoor hat. And as you can tell, I am wearing it indoors. So, you know,
Josh.
Hey, Josh, you know, you're such a rule breaker. You're such a rule breaker.
You are.
Well, if you're a rule breaker or rule follower, I'm sure you can be bringing in the money. And if you want to be bringing in the money, you need to be heading on over to betonline.ag, where they continue to be your number one source for all of your online sports wagering needs. You name it, they've got it over there at betonline.ag. With college football season right around the corner, MLB playoff push in full swing, there is no better time to be over at betonline.ag. Head on over to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today and receive a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit with our promo code BELIEVE. That's BLEAV, BetOnline, where the game starts. And don't forget to check us out on MikeFerrellSports.com and to stay up to date at MikeFerrellSports.com with all of the latest college football news and notes, rumors and intrigue and columns. We had our best day in the history of the site earlier this week. One of our columns went properly viral on Coach Prime, so make sure to check that out from writer Scott Solomon and all of the other great stuff we've got over there at Mike Farrell Sports. I'm contributing a couple times a week. Always the good stuff from Mike and everyone else.
I'm contributing too. Coach, I've got some video content.
Coach is heading up the video department over there. So
I contribute nothing.
Well, because you've got your own blog to run. Josh, you've got your own blog to run over.
Big Ten and Counting.
And those 2023 previews have been coming out hot and fast over at Big Ten and Counting.
To Michigan State.
Good stuff over there, Josh. I think you might have convinced me of a couple things, not entirely sold on a couple others, but you know, I'm warming up a little bit to the idea of Indiana being better than I thought. I'll leave it there. And as we are still doing conference previews, I'm gonna hand it right back over. You, Josh, as you are driving the ship here.
Yeah, if you haven't been listening to this ongoing series, mixing things up a little bit for our long-term time listeners, normally all three of us rank the conferences and we debate.
First time, long time, Paul.
but Matt got a big-time promotion. He's super busy. Coach getting work to the bone at his new school. So all the work
to prepare.
No. Fell on to me.
I didn't do that in quite some time.
I know. Normally I just talk out of my butt and say that I'm friends with David Beatty and pick Kansas to win football games.
You're not.
So tonight we're doing the ACC and AAC. We thought we'd pair those nicely. We'll probably have a tongue twister or two before the night is done. Starting with the Atlantic Coast Conference. Just to recap things, if you don't remember last year, Clemson won it yet again. They went 8-0 in league, but they did not make the playoffs. They lost to Notre Dame and South Carolina. But despite Clemson kind of a disappointing season in terms of missing the playoffs, the league as a whole, I thought, showed a lot of growth. Florida State had their best season in quite a while. Syracuse, Louisville, NC State, and Wake Forest all won 8 games. North Carolina had a trip to the title game for the second time in like 3 years or whatever. It was a nice run there. Pitt was a very solid 9-win team. And the Dukies, they also won 9 games. Unfortunately, for the teams that I did not just recap, it's a pretty tough season for a lot of these teams. Boston College was an absolute non-factor. The two Polytechnic Institutes struggled mightily. Miami was a mess. And sadly, Virginia had the absolute worst conclusion imaginable for a college football season, with a terrible, disgusting act of violence even ending their year before all their games were played. My personal 5 questions, and as we've been doing, if there's one that jumps out at you right now, feel free to jump in and chime in. My first question is Florida State or Clemson? Who can win, you know, the regular season title? Obviously, they're going divisionless, so they both can square off again in the title game, but who claims the regular season title? It seems like a popular race for the top 2.
I think it's Florida State this year.
You'll hear my answer in a little bit.
All right.
I'm going to go ahead and say it. I think it's Florida State.
Nice. The Tar Heels, they have a Seinfeld reference right now. They have the Drake. He's back. Are they a legitimate title contender, or will they merely be a title game participant contender, much like last year where, yeah, they made the title game, but it didn't feel like a true contender?
That one's a tricky one.
Yeah. Third question, the Dukies, can they match those 9 wins from last year or even build on it despite a very challenging schedule?
It's a tough schedule.
It's hard for them. It's a tough schedule. It's hard for them to repeat.
Yeah. Fourth, Pitt, Louisville, and NC State, they all have really intriguing transfers coming in at quarterback. Do any of those teams click right away and become a true factor in the ACC race?
Nope.
I like one of those teams.
I think I know which one you're going to like.
I mean,
I like one of them too, and I'm not sure which one.
Is it the Wolfpack who you like every year, Matt?
Yep, it's exactly the that's exactly who it is. Of course it is. I had the Wolfpack in the freaking college football playoff last season.
And then fifth and final one, coach's beloved Georgia Tech Yellow Jackets.
They hired a new offensive coordinator.
They went 4-4 over their last 8 games. Can they actually sniff a bowl game and be eligible in year one?
I will tell you, Buster Faulkner will have them scoring a ton of points. I don't know if they can stop anybody, but Buster Faulkner will have them scoring a ton of points.
Not that you have any skin in the game there at all, Coach.
No, not at all. None whatsoever.
All right. So as a reminder, no divisions this year in the ACC. So no more trying to remember the Atlantic and the Coastal, which I believe no one actually could remember. So this is just straight up rankings. Whoever has the best record will then face off in the title game. I'm going to pair my first 2 teams together because we're then going to debate it. So I have Clemson 1, Florida State 2. And the reason for this is I actually think Florida State is slightly more talented, but their head-to-head game is in Death Valley. Also, I'm a very defensive-oriented person, and Clemson's defense will be absolutely nasty again this year. I think they'll have the best defense in the conference. And then skill position player we all love, Will Shipley. For Florida State, they could very well have the best offense in the league. They got quarterback Jordan Travis back, running back Trey Benson back. They have a great receiver room, including Michigan State transfer Keon Coleman. Their defense not going to be as good as Clemson's, I don't think, but they only gave up 20 points per game last year. So getting to that first question I had, gents, everyone's picking either Florida State or Clemson. I personally put Clemson 1. I know Coach already has Florida State.
That mean I get to cast the tie-breaking vote?
Who do we have winning this whole thing?
Florida State. I've got Florida State, and there's a couple reasons for that. Yes, I do believe that Clemson has the best defense. I believe that Clemson's linebackers are the best linebacking room in the entire country. I think that their defensive backs are also outstanding. They've always got good defensive linemen. That being said, I still don't think they have a semblance of an offensive line near what they've had in the past. That has been a problem for them for the past couple of years, and I don't think they've done enough to address it. On the other hand, Florida State has gotten better at offensive line. You talked about Keon Coleman transfer. You throw him in the mix with Johnny Wilson, some of the tight ends that they have there. They have just giant guys running around and catching balls everywhere all the time for Jordan Travis, who can run around a little bit himself. And the biggest thing for Florida State on that defensive side is that Jared Verse did not go to the NFL draft. He's arguably the top pass rusher in the entire country this year. I've got Florida State making it and winning the ACC.
Yeah, I mean, Matt, I couldn't agree with you more. I mean, I don't know. I can't remember if you mentioned Jaheim Bell, but I think he's going to be a huge factor on that offense as well. I mean, if you, in this league, if you have a good tight end threat that can patrol the middle of the field.
Well, they've got
I
think two and him and up. Kyle Morlock, both.
Exactly. So I think if you have those two guys that are weapons in the short, intermediate, over the middle, it opens so many possibilities for guys like Keon Coleman and, you know, and that whole receiving core, which if I named them all by name, they take up the whole show. So one thing that hasn't really mattered in these matchups is home field. Like I think every game they play just about is very good. Like, and it comes down to the wire either way. Will Death Valley come into play here? I don't really know. Florida State's extremely explosive, and I'm not real sure that Clemson can hang with them this year.
Hmm. All right. Well, my third place team should be pretty explosive. It's North Carolina. And, you know, I think we got distracted last year's with that terrible defense that gave up 30 points per game. They had a terrible offensive line. They gave up 40 sacks. They lost their last few games. I think lost in that is the team started 9-1, and they have Drake May back under center. He is joined with just a silly amount of talent at the skill position. But the reason why I don't think anyone has them cracking the top two is that defense and the offensive line. They do have 8 starters back on defense, at least. Coach, the Heels avoid Florida State and host most of their tough games. Can they realistically play a spoiler, get to the title game, even if they lose at Clemson?
If they lose at Clemson, that's going to be for a spot in the title game, I think, because their home slate is very, very favorable. I mean, Minnesota, Syracuse, Miami, Virginia, Campbell, and Duke all at home. They're on the road the last 2 weeks at Clemson and at NC State. Not great games to end the season with on the road, but overall, they have a very favorable schedule. I think they can run the table if they – in their ACC slate, if they can beat Clemson, they've got a shot. And I think offensively, they're very explosive. I love Drake May. I'm surprised he didn't go to the NFL draft. He may have been the second quarterback taken.
Oh, well, he was ineligible. He couldn't have gone to the NFL draft.
I know. I said, I wish he could.
I thought you said you were surprised that he didn't. I was like, I didn't think you could have.
Yeah, no. I wish he could have. I probably did say I was surprised he didn't, but what I meant to say was, I wish he could have, but you know, it's just defensively, they're going to have to improve some things down the stretch. I think they allowing 30 points per game is not going to cut it against Clemson.
Not optimal.
I mean, maybe against Minnesota, you can do that, but yeah. You know, they have 8 defensive starters back on a defense that gave up 30 points a game. I don't know if that's a good thing or not.
Maturity, experience.
But you have maturity and experience on your side. So I don't know. Yeah. Maybe they can make a run. I like this North Carolina team. I think Florida State and Clemson are two really strong teams, and that's going to be hard for them to crack that top two.
Well, we mentioned that North Carolina hosts most of their tough games outside of the Clemson game. And one of those games they host are the Dukies, I have 4th. They have 17 starters back, which is crazy, including a really talented quarterback last year, Riley Leonard.
I like Riley
Leonard. But I mentioned their schedule being a lot tougher in those top five key questions. So Perko, you were going to put on your Mad Dog pants. We're going to run through their schedule. The Dukies won 9 games last year. We're going to see if they can match
Let's do it.
All right. Coach, can you keep track of the wins and losses for us?
Yeah, give me 1 second. All right. All right. Here we go.
Okay, so this is what they need to match.
Okay.
Clemson.
That's a loss.
Lafayette.
That's going to be a win.
Northwestern.
That's a win, dog.
At UConn.
That's a win.
The Golden Domers.
The Golden Domers. Loss. Where's the game being played?
At Duke.
Dookie.
Oh, give me the Dookies at home.
Okay.
Give me the Dookies at home. I don't trust the Golden Domers yet.
So far we're 4-1. All right.
NC State at home.
According to my standings, that's gonna have to be a loss.
All right. At Florida State.
Loss.
That's also a loss.
At Louisville.
Win. 5-3 so far.
Wake.
That's a win.
And that's a win.
At those Tar Heels.
I've got them ahead of the Tar Heels in the standings, so that's a win.
At Virginia.
That's
a
win. That's 8.
Pittsburgh on senior
that's
day.
That's a win.
Ooh, we got the match, and
nine
I like
and three.
It.
I've got them 9-3. You know it. I think Riley Leonard is my dark horse to win ACC Offensive Player of the Year. Okay. Everyone's going to take Jordan Travis, and rightfully so, but, you know, if I was taking a longer shot, I would take Riley Leonard.
All right. Well,
you're not taking Phil Jerkovic?
No, definitely not.
Well, I think this is going to be a pretty big zig for you guys, or zag, whichever you prefer. But coming in fifth place, I got the Ville.
I don't hate it. I actually really don't
hate
it. I got
Louisville. So here's my thinking behind this. This team won 8 games last year.
How?
And whenever I watched them,
how?
I thought Scott Satterfield was one of the most incompetent coaches I've seen. In fact, I think he was the most incompetent coach last year who wasn't named Jeff Collins.
How?
So now they bring in Jeff Brom.
Don't do that to Scott Satterfield. Jeff Collins is awful.
Now Louisville's brought in Jeff Brom, who we know can coach. They have a really solid quarterback transfer in Jack Plummer, who was pretty good at Cal. Their
he was
defense,
good for the Denver Broncos, too. Oh, wait.
Their defense led the league in scoring last year, which I don't think people realized. Certainly I didn't. And they have 6 starters back. They also have a really easy schedule. They avoid Clemson, Florida State, and North Carolina. Their toughest games are either hosting Duke or traveling to Miami, depending on how you feel about Miami. So I'm pretty high on this team, and I think if things break their right way, they could be a dark horse and somehow make the title game. So, Coach, do you agree that Louisville, with that schedule and with these new faces, can play a massive spoiler and maybe sniff around that title?
Maybe the first thing you said, but I don't know that they're going to make the title game. I mean, that's a big jump. I mean, they're going to have to jump Duke, North Carolina, and Florida State or Clemson to get in there. They don't play Florida State or Clemson, so there's going to be
some, or North Carolina.
Or North Carolina. So that's going to be tough to jump 3 teams that you don't even play, because there's going to be some tiebreakers that go against you. However, they don't return a ton of starters. They return 6 on defense, which is not bad, but they only return 4 on offense. New coach, new scheme, new way of life. I just think it's too early for them to – I think they're going to be better than they were, but I'm not putting too much stock into Louisville this year. I think they'll be a tough out, but it's going to be tough to win year one with what Satterfield left.
All right. Well, the one player that you got to keep out for on Louisville, who I think I'm not going to spoil it. Just keep an eye out for wide receiver Jamari Thrash. Georgia State transfer. He is going to have a massive year. Massive, massive year.
I like it. All right. Sixth place. I have Miami sliding in at 6th. Gotta like Tyler Van Dyke. He's pretty good when he's healthy. The offensive line shaping up to be one of the better ones in the league. And, you know, a lot of people have Miami way higher than I do. 6th for me, having them this low is all about Mario Cristobal. are we at all sure he's a good coach? So, gents, let's weigh in. Is Mario Cristobal a good enough in-game coach for the U?
Everything to Mario is everything is a square peg. No matter what shape the hole is, to Mario Cristobal, it is always a square peg. It can be a square hole, and when it's a square hole, that's great. But when it's a round hole, when it's a freaking hexagon, when it's any other shape, that becomes a problem. And he just
tries, geometry lesson going on here.
And he just tries to do everything with brute force. And I don't trust him enough, and I don't trust that Miami has the talent advantage they need to overcome the X's and O's deficit right now. So I'm going to say, to answer your question, Josh, yeah, I think he's still not good enough X's and O's wise to make Miami a contender right now.
Well, the good thing, Matt, is that they don't play MTSU this year. So that's a positive. That Bethune-Cookman game was almost going to be really tough for them, but Ed Reed retired. So, they lucked out there. Miami of Ohio, that's going to be a tough opener. This is
you've heard of the battle for Los Angeles. Get ready for the battle for Miami. The right to who gets to be
winner. Winner gets to keep the title. Loser has to change. No, I just don't trust Mario Cristobal. I think it just looks like he's in over his head. I mean, this just shows you how bad the Pac-12 was when he was coaching at Oregon. Well, like, how bad is the Pac-12? And it's so bad that it doesn't exist anymore.
Look how bad Justin Herbert was in college compared to what he's been in the pros.
Yeah.
He just finally got coaching.
I know. Exactly. And it's been mediocre coaching at that. And even that's been a serious improvement.
He's about to get Kellen
Moore. Yeah, but he got an assist by the team doctor getting rid of Tyrod Taylor. Hey-o. All right, rounding out the upper half of this league, I got NC State. The defense was awesome last year. They were tied for fewest points per game. They should be really good again. I'm actually excited by the potential in offense. Virginia quarterback Brennan Armstrong, he was awesome back in 2021. Then his offensive coordinator left for Syracuse. They are getting reunited in NC State with Robert N.E. Matt, you are our resident Wolfpack fan. How bullish are you on this year's version?
Yes, I am our resident Wolfpack fan. And Josh, I have them finishing third in the conference. I have them.
Love
you can
it.
Check out my picks over at MikeFarrellSports.com, where I wrote in last week's three-point stance. I had my ACC picks out, and I had them finishing third. And it's all about that Armstrong and Nye connection. And if you looked back two seasons ago, they could do everything. I think Brennan Armstrong just didn't fit in the offense that they ran last year at Virginia for a variety of reasons. And then with the way that season ended, I think you can kind of throw that out. I think that they should be very good on offense. I think that they're going to be even better though. They should be really good on defense. They've got a couple really, really good players out there, especially in the defensive backfield. They are led by their safety unit, most notably Aiden White, who is one of the best players in the conference at the defensive back position, along with Andrew Makuba from Clemson. Am I too high on them? Probably. But it's what I do. It's par for the course.
Yeah.
All right. I got Pittsburgh at eighth. They had also a great defense last year, but it's going to be rebuilt. They had a lot of seniors graduate from that defense. We mentioned him earlier. Former Boston quarterback Phil Jurkovec, he is looking to finish his collegiate career at a new setting. Coach, I kind of feel like Florida State and Clemson are tier one. Mm-hmm. Teams 3 through 7 all kind of have a path if things go right for them, kind of this, you know, dark horse contender status. I think this is the dividing line personally. I think Pitt is just on the outside really looking in for that contender status. Yeah. But am I shortchanging Narduzzi too much?
No, you're not. I mean, I think you're getting an also ran another version of JT Daniels at quarterback with Phil Jurkovec. I think he's trying to get as many colleges on his resume as humanly possible. I just don't understand it. I mean, Pitt always plays tough on defense.
Where's he been other than Boston
College?
Yeah,
he hasn't been anywhere else.
Notre Dame.
Was Jurkovec? Did he start at Notre Dame?
I think he signed with Notre Dame out of high school, didn't he?
Oh. I'm going to trust you on that one, Coach.
I feel like he did. Coach is actually correct, Coach. He did his freshman year at Notre Dame before he went to BC. Yeah.
Well done. Well,
he got beat out by Book, I think, and transferred.
Nice.
I think
good memory.
Yeah. And then because I remember talking about him as a transfer to Boston College because Matt was like, oh yeah, we got Phil Jurkovec from Notre Dame.
Boston College fan.
Yeah. You went to their football camp. That's a
Matt, you
undisputed
you,
fact.
You personally buried the hatchet because of Phil Jurkovec.
Yeah. It wasn't because of Phil Jurkovec, but yes, I did I did bury the hatchet, but for other reasons.
I'm going with that.
Okay, sure. Why not?
Okay, so what I like about Pitt, though, I mean, they're always tough on defense. They return 12 starters, six on offense, five on defense, plus a kicker, which is always good. I really like wide receiver, and I'm gonna butcher this name, but Kanata Mumfield. I think I got that.
That is correct, actually.
Did I get that right?
Yeah.
Okay, sweet. I couldn't say his name, but I like the way he plays.
Listen, at least Israel Abanaconda has graduated, so you don't have to deal with that anymore.
That is very true. But they have Gavin Bartholomew at tight end. Bub Means. There's some names on this squad. I like it. MJ Devonshire.
Second Earl of Devonshire.
Yeah,
very British.
I mean, Narduzzi is trying to win. I don't know if he's going to win the ACC, but Scrabble, I think he has a good chance. But they host Florida State, which for some reason in November at Pitt is just not easy because it's Pitt in November and people are more worried about the Steelers and that stadium's empty. I think you're right. They're right on the bottom looking in. They're going to be a tough. It's going to be a game where when you play Pitt, you're going to feel it the next day and the next day after that. And you're going to be like, I'm glad we're not playing them right now. But other than that, I don't think they're any real threat.
All right. Well, let's head on down to Wake Forest. We all love Dave Clawson. He's one hell of a coach. They really need Mitch Griffiths to step up because – well, he's going to be their new quarterback because Sam Hartman transferred. The defense was not good last year. They were last in points per game. So why do we have them ninth? Or why do I have them ninth? It's Dave Clawson for me. So similar question to the last one, but going to you, Matt. Am I giving Clawson too much love for keeping Wake in the top 10 and assuming that they'll make a bowl?
Well, Josh, I'm going to read my own writing verbatim. I also had Wake Forest finishing ninth. Where I said, losing Sam Hartman is a big blow for the Demon Deacons, but you can never count out Dave Clawson, who routinely does more with less than just about anyone in the country. So, Josh, great minds.
Yeah.
Yes. I mean, it's basically the same thing. Dave Clawson is a wizard.
He's very much a wizard, and I haven't heard of half of these people on this roster, but if there's anybody in this conference that can do something, it's Dave Clawson.
Imagine if Dave Clawson had Mario Cristobal's roster.
Well, he might win the conference.
He might win the national championship.
If he had Duke's roster, I think he'd win the conference. If he had NC State's roster, he'd win the conference. I think if he could recruit on that level, which I think Wake Forest is just a tough school to recruit to because
for a variety of reasons.
A variety of reasons that are out of his control. Mm-hmm. And he does a great, great job. I think Jim Grobe did a great job with what he had available to him and to kind of pass the torch to Dave Clawson. So I'm a believer. I mean, ninth is a hell of a finish for them if they can make a bowl. I've always been a big Dave Clawson fan. I think he does a great job. They're always exciting to watch. And if they just wear those gold chrome finish helmets all year round, that'll make it even better.
All right. Coming in at 10th, I've got Georgia Tech. And just like Coach, I like this team. We'd all know Coach dresses up in his yellow jacket jersey every Saturday, roots for him.
I do.
The reason for this is Brent Key.
I'm a rambling wreck.
Brent Key guided this team to a 4-4 finish. They then upgraded their quarterback. They lost Jeff Sims in the portal, but they added Texas A&M quarterback Haynes King. Sims just not really a factor passing. He's a nice mobile quarterback, but you know, I broke him down. The Big Ten, he transferred to the Big Ten, so you can look at my thoughts on him. But they also added a Georgia player, which I thought was interesting. Wide receiver Dominic Blaylock. Coach, what did the Jackets get in Blaylock?
They got also tight end Brett Seether too from Georgia. Yeah. No, Dominic Blaylock is a playmaker, dude. He's a threat down the field. He's a great slot receiver. Brings a lot of explosiveness to the offense. I mean, I think if he's finally healthy, which I mean, he spent 2 years just battling injuries and adversity and all kind of stuff. So. It's good to see him kind of bounce back and get into an offense where he's really going to fit now, because I think because of his injuries, he shot way down the depth chart at Georgia and it just wasn't going to work out for him. And so transferring with Buster down to Georgia Tech, I think it was a really, really good move for him. So I mean, even before he hired Buster, I really liked Brent Key. I really hated that it was Georgia Tech that got him because they're going to be good now. But I think, honestly, Georgia Tech being good is good for that rivalry.
Yeah.
Because it's not much of a game right now. And if that game gets reinvigorated, Georgia's schedule gets a little bit tougher. They sure as heck need that in 2023. But I think it's good for Georgia Tech to be good. Honestly, not necessarily rooting for him. And of course, now I have a family factor there too. So I have to root for him because, you know, I think they're going to do a great job. But defensively, I kind of worry about them. I don't know if they're going to be able to stop anybody. I watched their spring game because I'm a nerd. I think they're doing a lot of good things on offense. Nice. They're going to be sneaky. I mean, they're not going to be a threat to make the title game this year, but they're going to be good.
All right. Coming in 11th, I've got Syracuse. This team lost tons of players. A lot of player departures. They lost their offensive coordinator to NC State. We talked about that already. But they still have a really solid quarterback to wide receiver combo of Garrett Schrader. And then he's tossing the ball to Oronde Gadsden the second. Matt, you are our resident upstate New Yorker. How bullish are you?
It is one of the many places I have called homes in my life. Not super bullish, Josh. Yeah. Not super bullish. It's going to be tough outside of Gadsden. They don't have a whole lot on the offense. Schrader has a lot on his shoulders at quarterback position. They were decimated. They lost a lot of their best players on the defensive side to the portal, including standout cornerback Deuce Chestnut, who was their best defensive player, and he decided to pack up and go down to LSU. So they are looking, they still have a lot of questions on the defense, especially in the back seven, and that worries me. So
they got Miles Farmer from Nebraska.
Yeah, that's not gonna. I don't think that replaces though. You know what they lost. They'll be okay. I think in the Georgia Tech, Wake Forest, Syracuse is sort of like. I think those three teams are probably a very good like complement to each other there ahead of the bottom three.
Yeah.
But I think you can. None of those three teams are gonna make. Like big waves, they might make a little noise here and there, throw off a random upset. They might, you know, get one of those second tier teams that you talked about, Josh. They might be able to get one of those on a given Saturday, but they are not going to be routinely in it to be in that second tier.
All right. Well, bringing up the bottom tier, you just alluded to it. 12th place, I got Virginia Tech. Even after just one season, Brent Pry has to have one of the hotter seats here in the league after that dismal debut season. This team just flat out could not score. And if it honestly wasn't for Boston College or Virginia's situations right now, I'd actually be tempted to put the Hokies last place. Coach, is there any avenue for improvement for the Hokies, or do they just honestly whiff on their hire and Pry will be, you know, showing the door here soon?
I think they whiff. I mean, they return 10 starters total. I mean, when a kicker and punter is highlighted in your returning starters, it ain't good, man. It ain't good. An offense that couldn't score, maybe you need new blood. I don't know. Maybe returning no starters hardly is a good thing. I don't know. But I'm just not a believer in what they're doing. I think they followed he was so bad I can't remember his name, the guy before him. Fuente. They followed Fuente with Pry. Like, ooh, just two whiffs in a row has just set their program back. Like, Fuente struggled recruiting, lost a bunch of transfers. Brent Pry has done a lot of the same. And it's just going from bad to worse for them. I don't see this getting any better. And thankfully for Pry, there's a couple of worse off situations. One of them in a very sad manner, unfortunately, but two very worse off situations that could, I don't know that it'll protect him from losing his job, but it'll protect him from not finishing last at least.
Yeah. All right. I'm going to group 13 of 14 together and then ask you a question on them, Matt. 13th, I got Boston College quarterback Emmett Moorhead. He played pretty well last year, but they had a wave of departures in the offseason. They lost a lot of players to that portal. And then 14th, Virginia. Honestly, the only coach who made Brent Pry look good last year was Tony Elliott. And I think Elliott should be commended. His leadership in the wake of the shooting was admirable, but if we're just judging his on-field performance was awful last year. So, Matt, is there any chance BC or Virginia surpass these dismal expectations and kind of sniff a bowl game getting around like 5-7, 4-8 type thing?
Only way that happens is if Boston College's offensive line comes back to what we thought it was going to be or in what it was a couple of years ago. Now, the return of Christian Mahogany, who was their best offensive lineman last year and missed the entire year with a preseason, I think, ACL tear. If he's back and 100%, he should anchor that line and that unit. But again, they just don't have the talent at the skill positions to really compete. I'd say it's BC ahead of Virginia. Virginia, they might win one game. Like, it's not going to be, I think, all that pretty for the Cavaliers for the litany of reasons that you have outlined. So I probably might flip flop BC and Virginia Tech. But besides that, man, it's not. It
does it really matter? No,
but that's the thing. It doesn't matter. It genuinely doesn't matter.
I don't think any of these teams are making a bowl. I think Tony Elliott, had the shooting not happened, he may have been fired a lot sooner. For his on-field performance. So he, you know, didn't lose his job there, but it's going to be very close for him. Boston College, I just don't know what to say about that. I don't really know where to go with Boston College, to be honest with you. I'm kind of at a loss with them.
Then don't.
And I'm not going to.
All right.
I'm just not. These teams are just terrible.
All right.
The reason why people hate the ACC.
Throwing a few accolades out there. So champion, I'm taking the defense wins champion viewpoint and taking Clemson, but Florida State's right there with them. I think this is a 1A, 1B situation.
Yep.
My offensive MVP, UNC didn't stop many people last year. So I think Drake May is going to put up some insane stats. So he's going to be my offensive MVP.
I'll take Jordan Travis.
I like that one. Coach, you have a pick?
I mean, I want to go different, but I'll take Jordan Travis.
All right. My defensive MVP. Clemson has about 11 nominees that you could make. So I'm going to assume that at the end of the year, the media is just literally going to pick one of them. So pick your favorite Clemson player.
Jeremiah Trotter Jr.
I like it.
I'm going Jared Verse. He's not a Clemson player. No. But I'm going Jared Verse.
Good one, though. That's a good one.
All right. My coach of the year, repeating to 8 or 9 wins, got to give it to Mike Elko at Duke.
I've got NC State finishing third. It's Dave Doran.
Love that one.
That's a solid choice, but I got UNC finishing third, so I'm going with Mike Norvell because he wins the conference.
I thought you were about to say Mac Brown.
Yeah, I thought you were about to say Mac Brown.
I was about to. I was setting you guys up.
I like it. My newcomer. Because I have Louisville being pretty good this year, Jack Plummer.
I've got his teammate, Jamari Thrash.
I've got Brennan Armstrong.
Is that really a newcomer?
Is he really?
He's on a new team, though.
But he's still within the same conference. He's not a conference newcomer.
Are we saying conference newcomer?
I mean,
he's on a new team.
It's implied, I think, conference, but I like the pick. So
we'll, I mean,
why not? I don't know. Well, I'll allow it.
Totally.
Otherwise, I agree with you on Jack Plummer, but I think Brendan Armstrong is going to have a huge year, and he's on a brand new team. So
there you go.
All right. My first fired. I think there's going to be a lot of carnage in this league, but I'm going to start with Jeff Hafley. I think Boston College, Jeff Hafley, part ways. He's my first fired, but there's a very good chance Dino Babers at Syracuse joins him. Very good chance Brent Pry from Virginia Tech joins him, and a very good chance Tony Elliott from Virginia joins him.
Yeah, I think Babers and I think both Babers and Hafley are gone for sure.
I think if Babers was going to be gone, he was going to be gone like the last 2 years.
True.
As long as he doesn't go Ofer, I'm not so sure that Syracuse really cares.
or has the money to buy him out.
Or has the money to buy him out. There no scandals. They're like, okay, we're cool.
Make a bowl game every third year.
We're cool. We're focused on basketball, Dino. You're fine. Brent Pry, nah, he gone. Tony Elliott, sorry, bud. And Jeff Hafley, yeah.
All right, tying a bow in the ACC. We've talked a lot about Florida State and Clemson. Either of them making the playoffs.
No.
Yes.
Ooh. All right.
Florida State makes the playoff.
I like that. All right. Well, that concludes our Atlantic Coast Conference. So if you just got to work, you can pause us now and go enjoy your work day. And we're about to do the American.
Episode one. And the American will come next.
And it comes now. Perfect. And all right. We're off to the AAC. And
flip to side B.
To recap, last year is all about our lovable boys, Tulane baby. They did it.
Hell yeah.
The green wave. Everything clicked for them. They won the league last year. They bested UCF and Cincy, who are both now departed in the Big 12. Houston also left. So with those teams cleaned out, it feels like an amazing chance for the wave to repeat. I just listed the clubs who left, but a whole bunch joined. So in case you missed it, the American welcomes in alphabetical order Charlotte, Florida Atlantic, North Texas, Rice, UAB, and we love them. Meep, meep. The Roadrunners. Those teams are in. My questions for this league. Cincy, you might remember Cincy. They dominated the American 1 year, and then they dominated it for a second straight year, and they went to the playoffs. Can Tulane flirt with that unthinkable as well?
I would love that, but no.
No, because they don't have the marquee out-of-conference game like Cincinnati did against Notre Dame the year that they went to the playoff.
That's a great point. All right. Question number two. Memphis had a nice stretch recently, but last year they really faded from the pack. Now with a new-look league, does Memphis rebound?
Might hover in the middle, maybe.
All right. Question number three. Can a new face not named UTSA contend?
UAB?
Ooh, I got UAB pretty low.
Trent Dilfer, baby.
He's all in. Number four. How can we make this happen?
Don't talk about his coaches.
Number four, how can we make this happen? How can we get SMU to wear their beautiful blue uniforms against Florida Atlantic's beautiful Miami Vice themed uniforms?
Got to make some phone calls.
And get
Matt is well connected down there.
So and get our friends at College Football Reddit to really make that happen. I feel like they are the groundswell for all great things that happen in college football these days.
All right, and fifth and final one. USF had one of the all-time worst hires ever. It was a disaster. So bad, in fact, I was reading something that UCF has already signed like double-digit kids from the state of Florida in one recruiting period. They couldn't even accomplish that under he who shall not be named. Can you see it?
Yeah. It is.
No, I've got him named later in the show.
I mean, it was.
It was Jeff Scott. He was.
Yeah, he was
freaking
pretty bad.
Terrible.
It was God, pretty was bad.
All right. So, can they show any signs of life? That's what I'm curious about.
No.
All right. definitive.
Unless they throw away those god awful neon green heinous uniforms. Those are awful. Oof. Those are awful. That's cruel.
Oh, Michigan State punishment. To take note too on that when they break those same ones out.
Yeah, that's cruel and
cruel and
God forbid. God help us all if they ever play each other.
Oof. And wear them. That'd be the opposite of SMU and FAU playing. This conference is also divisionless, so we'll just run right through them. I am joining literally every other prognosticator in the country with Tulane as my first place team and champion. Michael Pratt, their outstanding quarterback, he back. They have the conference's best offensive line in front of him. They do have a few replacements that they need. The defense is going to have a few new faces. The receiver room is going to have a few new faces. And their outstanding running back, Taiji Spears, he graduated. So those things might keep Tulane from going undefeated for the whole year. But with the brain trust of Pratt, Coach Willie Fritz, I don't see a reason for not picking Tulane. So, gents, are either of you doing the unthinkable and not putting the Green Wave in your top spot?
I mean, some crazy stuff has happened, but no, nah, I think Tulane just – they're established. Willie Fritz has done a great job just building that program slowly and getting them to the point to now where they can be sustainable in the American Conference. And I really love what they do at offense. They've got an experienced quarterback, and that's dangerous for somebody like Willie Fritz.
Yeah, it's hard not to choose the Green Wave.
All right, let's head down to the Riverwalk. Second place, I got UTSA. They have quarterback Frank Harris back. He was outstanding last year. The receiver room is going to be really good. That is even factoring in Zachary Franklin transferring over to Ole Miss. They still have a deep receiver room. They have seven starters back from a defense that was fantastic last year. Coach, the Roadrunners, they welcome in a new offensive coordinator. They hired Justin Burke in the offseason. What are the challenges of being a new signal caller when the offense has so many pieces back already?
Well, it's really just kind of trying to fit your wrinkles into what they already do well, because they have so many starters coming back and so many pieces and so many weapons. I think you just got to kind of figure out where things fit and how to incorporate what you want to do into there. Now, part of this hire was probably predicated on Justin Burke's keeping a lot of things and a lot of concepts in place that these players are good at. So I think that was probably a key caveat as to why that I think they're going to have success. You got to, like I said, an experienced quarterback goes a long way into making a play caller right more times than not. Because a good quarterback will make up for the 25% of the time that the offensive coordinator is a blubbering idiot, which happens. If you have a good quarterback to bail you out, you certainly look like a world-class offensive coordinator for sure. So I think they'll be fine. I think they'll be great. A lot of experience is what I really like. I think they're going to make it tough for Tulane in this conference. And they get Tulane at the end of the season. They're on the road. So that'll be a must-watch game, hopefully, if the Roadrunners can maintain an undefeated schedule up until then.
All right, third place, I got Memphis. We have another great quarterback worth mentioning. That's Seth Hennigan. They also picked up a really good transfer at running back from Old Dominion. They got Blake Watson in there now. They also have five starters back on that defense. Matt, four of Memphis's five league losses last year were by single digits. Do you think they flip that luck around and compete for a spot in the title game?
Yeah, actually I do. I really do. I still think that enough of the infrastructure is there for them to be a highly competitive team and finish second to Tulane.
Ooh, second. I like that. All right. Fourth place got SMU, the Ponies. We love their uniforms, but do we love this team? We know that Mordecai transferred because we talked about that with Wisconsin. They also lost Rashee Rice, but they have a quarterback that they're pretty high on. Preston Stone, he got some action last year. The staff's been loving him all offseason, which, I mean, what coach doesn't hype up their players? But they seem pretty confident that they're going to have a solid offense yet again. But that defense, they gave up almost 34 points a game last year. Coach, for me, SMU feels clearly a step down from that top three. Where do you have those Mustangs?
I mean, I have them competing for that top three spot. I think November 18th at Memphis is going to be a pivotal game for them to kind of make a jump and say, okay, we're going to be in that upper echelon in this conference. I think their schedule up until then is not all that challenging. They have a road game at Oklahoma and at TCU. Obviously, those are going to be challenges because those are not
– Iron skillet.
Yeah. But Louisiana Tech, Prairie View A&M, Charlotte at East Carolina, at Temple, Tulsa at Rice, North Texas, I think are all pretty easy games for them until they get to – until they get to the road game at Memphis. So I think they're going to be a lot better than people are giving credit for. I like Preston Stone a lot. He's just about as good as Tanner Mordecai. I think they're not going to see a big drop off there. What I worry about is, I mean, they returned six starters on offense, so I don't really worry about that, but not many of those starters are offensive linemen. So that's probably a cause for concern. But again, I think Preston Stone is more than capable of running this offense for sure. Defense is a big question mark, big red flag for this for this bunch.
All right, fifth place, I got Florida Atlantic. They have former Nebraska and Texas signal caller Casey Thompson coming in. That's a huge get for the Owls. Three offensive line starters are back to keep them upright. And we know that all things considered, Tom Herman knows offense. The defense, though, not going to be as settled. Matt, I want you to play a prediction game. We saw UCF rise as a program, going from smaller conferences, working their way up to the AAC. I told you we'd have one slip up. The AAC to having huge success. That got them to the Big 12. They are a huge public school in Orlando. FAU is a huge public school in Boca Raton in the Miami area. What kind of similar paths to success do you think FAU can find over the next 5+ years?
I mean, it's there. We've seen them win before. In the relatively recent past with Lane Kiffin, they were able to have a very strong offense and win, you know, at least for a couple seasons straight and do very well at it. And it is not, you know, out of the realm of possibility for them to follow a similar path. I mean, we just saw their team make the Final Four in basketball. I mean, yes, that's a little bit flukier, but still, you can see that happen. I think the biggest issue that they're going to face is climate change, because they're in Boca Raton right on the ocean, and I think it's more likely that they have to move the campus somewhere else because of the issues of the geography of South Florida than anything else.
All right, well, my sixth place team probably won't have to move their campus because Denton, Texas ain't nowhere near the Gulf of Mexico. But I got North Texas sixth. They have tons of new faces. messing my rhythm up, coach. the Mean Green, they got a bunch of new faces coming in, but they have a pretty nice quarterback transfer there from UL Monroe. Chandler Rogers, he should solidify things at quarterback. I really like the hire of Eric Morris. He's a Texas lifer, so I think the culture fit is nice. But this team feels like it has a little bit of a rebuild to make, despite having a nice season last year, getting to a bowl game last year. Coach, I'm curious, how does a new coach and quarterback transferring in, how do these two new faces get on the same page in just one offseason?
They don't all the way. But if you have a mature guy that comes in that kind of understands how to prepare in a short amount of time, then maybe so. I don't know if Chandler Rogers is that person. I don't know if this coach is that person, because getting settled in as a new hire is always, always tough. And getting and not having an established quarterback come in until sometime during the transfer portal is also very tough, because like one of the first things you do is you meet. You know, obviously you meet your coaches or whatever, but the first player you typically meet with is your quarterback. And they didn't have that guy probably when he got hired. Chandler Rogers probably didn't come till later. However, getting on the same page, I think, is going to be tough. I think North Texas is going to head in the right direction at some point. I think you'll notice about mid-season, maybe we'll call it October 14th, October 21st. They have two games against Temple and at Tulane. After Tulane and Memphis and UTSA and at SMU, that is a gauntlet right there. But I think after those four games, you'll kind of know where they're at. If they're getting their brains beat in, then obviously things aren't going well. Things didn't go well. But I think you'll see a switch turn if they're on the right page. You'll see a switch turn somewhere down that stretch to where you're like, okay, this North Texas team might be for real. Not this year, but they might be for real. So I'm going to hit pause on that one.
All right. In the seven hole, East Carolina, this is one of our beloved teams going way back. And the good news for the Purple Pirates is they won 8 games last year, their best season in quite a while. The bad news is most of those skill position players are gone. Only one offensive line starter is back. And the defense wasn't very good last year. Matt, what's the ceiling on our original random team that we all loved?
6-6. Like, I because of just all of that talent loss, I am not super looking forward to a lot of games this fall for our beloved Purple Pirates. I think it could be a long fall. I'm surprised you even have them as high as 7th.
Well, the teams behind them have a lot of question
marks. There's a lot of question marks at the bottom of this league. Yeah.
Yeah. All right, 8th place. I got Temple. And being a good Iowan, I, of course, love Kurt Warner, which means by extension, I love Temple quarterback EJ Warner. He has tons of receivers back to throw to, so he's going to put up some absolutely insane numbers. But my God, the defense was atrocious last year. Coach, yeah. Looking at Temple's schedule, there are 6 games that I think they have a very good chance of winning. Do you think they can sneak into a bowl game? Where do you see this Temple team stacking up?
Well, you mentioned their offense is going to be pretty explosive, and their defense is going to be explosive for all the wrong reasons. So let's look at their schedule. Okay. So let's look at the wins. Okay. Akron, we think mm-hmm. that's a win.
Yeah.
At Rutgers,
probably not.
So that's 1-1. Norfolk State,
I like 2-1.
Miami, 2-2. No. At Tulsa, so that's a question mark.
Yeah, Tulsa, just foreshadowing, I got them 9th.
So that could be a win.
Yeah.
UTSA, that's a loss. At North Texas.
Probably a loss,
yeah. SMU, loss. Navy.
I got Navy 10th.
Probably a win. At South Florida.
I got South Florida 13th.
So probably a win there. At UAB and at Memphis, or at UAB hosting Memphis, I think those two are losses to end the season. So, they could sneak into a Boca Raton RNL Carriers Gasparilla Bowl.
All right. I like it.
Weed Eater Bowl, whatever. They could.
I'll take
they
it.
They have a chance.
Yeah.
They have a chance. They're going to have to win every game 65-62, but they have a chance.
All right. Well,
like arena football.
Hey, that's where Kurt made his name. So,
comes full circle.
Yeah. So we mentioned Tulsa. I got them 9th. They surprisingly have kind of a nice skill position set with kind of a nice quarterback, but, I don't think the offensive line blocked a single person last year. They were truly atrocious. They were one of the worst offensive lines in the entire country.
They only returned 2 starters there, so maybe that's not a bad
thing. Yeah. Pretty much their entire defense also hit the portal, so that's kind of strange. But they hired Kevin Wilson, who did some nice things at Indiana, and I think he can do some nice things at Tulsa as well. Matt, you're also a son of the Big Ten. You saw plenty of Kevin Wilson when he was with the Hoosiers. What are your thoughts on him?
Hold on, Matt. I'm looking at this. I'm gonna add this to questions that you're going to answer here. I'm looking at this Lindy's magazine here because I had to cheat to look at Tulsa's roster. But their defensive coordinator position is still listed as open.
Yeah.
At the time of publication.
Well,
All right, go.
Send them your resume.
I might have to.
I mean, that would be a reverse Matt Patricia situation there.
Yeah.
He was the OC last year after being douchely courted his entire life. I mean, Josh. Kevin Wilson, I mean, they're going to throw the ball a lot. They're going to throw the ball a whole.
You know who their OC is, right?
Is
that TBD as well? I was going to say.
No, it's Steve Spurrier Jr.
Well, is it really?
Got to coach him up.
It is. So they're going to have multiple quarterbacks throwing the ball around the yard a whole lot. Someone getting really angry on the sidelines occasionally.
Funny
guy. And yeah, I mean, it's going to be a lot of points. It's going to be like Temple. I think both these teams, big offense, no defense.
All right. Well, a team that's going to flip that script is number 10, Navy. They had a really good defense last year. They should have an awesome defense this year again. But they're going to have a ton of new faces on offense. I mean, like a ton. And they do plan on keeping the triple option, though. So, Coach, I got an offensive coordinator question for you.
All right.
All those new players on the Middies offense. Is it harder for an option team to find their timing or a different offensive style?
In this scenario, a different offensive style, because the coordinator that's coming in is coming from Kennesaw State. And you know how Kennesaw State played under Brian Bohannon. Mm-hmm. Like, you know how they were clicking, right? So I feel good about this Navy team, actually. I mean, there's some good teams in this conference, but I don't know if I have them above seventh, but I mean, they're somewhere in that range. But I think they're going to be okay because they're not going to fall off scheme-wise. I think they actually upgraded their offensive coordinator, to be honest with you. I think he's better at calling this offense, and I think he's going to bring this offense as close to the new age as you can get this offense. But there's going to be some things in there. You're going to see Kennesaw State now in the AAC, which is a different brand of the same offense, but it's a better brand, I think.
All right. 11th, I got Rice. The Owls, they went bowling last year. Then they added JT Daniels at quarterback and Luke McCaffrey at wide receiver. They have 7 starters back on defense. Unfortunately, the defense was really bad last year, so good news, bad news thing there. My problem and the reason I put Rice 11th is I don't think their depth is up to snuff for being in the AAC just yet. And we know that JT Daniels has a pretty lengthy injury history. And if he goes down, they're probably going to be screwed. So, Matt, with that in mind, what injuries is JT Daniels suffering this year?
Well, now that he lives in the state of Texas, he is going to be wearing boots with spurs, and he is going to trip because he's not used to wearing boots with spurs. Not boots with the fur. He's our age, so he's definitely used to the boots with the fur. Not used to the boots with the spurs, however. And because of that, he's going to trip, and he's going to lacerate his arm his leg on the spurs so badly that he cannot play and gets a 17th year of eligibility.
Ooh, I like that. All right. Why are we so mean to him?
He had the tight Wrangler jeans and the boots with the spurs.
Oh, God. The whole barn was looking at her.
He hit the flow.
Oh, God. I don't even know. How are we going to bring this one home, Coach?
Well,
he hit the flow. Cut his arm for show. Can't throw no mo.
We can be really terrible sometimes. Right.
And that'll do it for Illegal Motion.
This is a college kid we're hammering. Granted, he's a 35-year-old college kid, but he's a college kid.
He's real life Van Wilder.
All right, I'm just
going to... I think he's trying to play in every conference in all of Division I.
I'm just going to group 12, 13, and 14 together and then ask you guys a wrap-up question. So I know Coach is kind of high on UAB, but I got the Blazers 12th. They had tons of talent hit the portal, and Trent Dilfer, He's never coached before, so I got questions. South Florida, 13th. Talked about him before. Jeff Scott was an absolute embarrassment last year. He couldn't recruit. He left this team completely barren. This is clearly a multi-year rebuild. And 14, Charlotte. Their coach, an all-time great coaching name, Biff Poggi, or Poggi, I don't know which it is. He's been fired up in media and press conferences.
He's been fantastic.
He's been calling out the lack of respect everyone's been giving Charlotte, us included. But there's a reason for this. Charlotte won just three games last year and are now in what is on paper a harder league. So there's a theme with these bottom three teams. They all have brand new coaches, gentlemen. So which hire did you like the most? Now that we're done with the offseason, we did our new hire rankings way back when, but now we're at the end of the offseason. So which of the new hires do you like the most? And which team do you think will be the first to go bowling in the next few years?
I like Biff the most because he has the best name. He just has the best attitude, the best body out of all of them as well. In terms of what I want from my coach named Biff, he definitely fits the bill. And because of that, give me Charlotte.
Nice.
I couldn't agree with Professor anymore. I was being extremely sarcastic about Trent Dilfer. I don't really think he's going to do all that great. I really, on a serious note, though, I do think South Florida made a good hire with Alex Goulash.
Goulash.
Gulag.
Yeah.
I think they made a really good hire.
That's what it was under Jeff Scott.
Yeah. Unfortunately, because Jeff Scott left his entire team in the gulag, Alex Goulash is going to have to figure out how to bring him back. But he's had some years under Josh Heupel, so I think he'll be pretty good.
Nice. All right. My accolades. I got Tulane beaten our beloved Roadrunners.
Yep.
My offensive MVP, going back to Tulane, I got Michael Pratt.
Yep.
My defensive MVP, I'm really pleased with this one. I did some digging. I'm going to go with Evan Anderson from Florida Atlantic. And the reason for this is he was pretty good last year, and then he earned preseason all AAC first team honors. So he's already on people's radar. He's a beast of a defensive lineman. And you may have noticed a bunch of teams in this league have offensive line issues. So I think he's going to rack up a lot of tackles for losses and sacks. And then also he's number 8. How can you not like a lineman with a single digit number? And he's buying into that number 8 thing. His Instagram handle, gentlemen, is KR8ZY_8. So it's crazy 8. Come on. You got to go with Evan Anderson,
I like that.
That's solid. All right, so for my defensive MVP, while you've been talking, I don't think I heard a word you said because I've been scouring Tulsa and Temple's roster trying to find our next defensive MVP.
They're supposed to have the two worst defenses. What are you doing?
Am I looking at the wrong list? Wait a second.
We said defensive MVP, not who has the most missed tackles.
Oh,
gotcha.
In all seriousness, they have a top 10 NFL talent list in this magazine that I'm reading. And Leighton Jordan, linebacker from Temple.
Yeah, he's pretty good
on that list.
There you go.
He's pretty good.
He's good. So, it's hard to have a one man defense.
It really is. I like your pick of Evan Anderson. I'm going to go with Jalen Allen from Memphis.
Oh, yeah. He's a good one, too. My coach of the year, they're repeating as champions. How can you not go with Fritz? All right.
I don't know.
Yeah. Silence don't know makes it unanimous.
I think the one that has a chance to jump in there, I mean, I think it's Fritz. But if for some reason our Roadrunners upset, Jeff Ooh. Traylor could. I think the winner between UTSA and Tulane, I think, is going to be coach of the year, too.
All right. My newcomer is Casey Thompson.
Frank Harris.
Casey Thompson down there at FAU.
Yeah.
First fired. A lot of those bottom feeding teams have new coaches. And while Rice did go bowling last year and they have some new faces, got to probably put Mike Bloomgren as a good chance for this. He's even with a bowl last year, he's yet to have a winning record at Rice. If they can't make a second straight bowl or you know, JT Daniels doesn't pan out, at some point, I think you gotta cut ties with them.
Yeah,
I think you gotta add if the Purple Pirates go south, I think Mike Houston could be on his way out. Stan Drayton, even in his second year, if things go really bad for them, I think could be out. When you look at Kevin Wilson, if things go really south,
they're not going one and done with him.
Yeah, not one and done.
No, they're not. I'm just kidding. I think South Florida is going to be so mad at Jeff Scott that they hire him just so they can fire him again. But other than that, no, I think we're pretty spot on.
All right. Well, that'll do it, gentlemen. That's the AAC and the ACC. Next time will be
SEC down and south. Fun Belt. Yeah.
SEC and Fun Belt. So, and then, speaking of SEC.
And then when we do our week zero, we'll throw in our independents there.
There you go. So speaking of SEC, you can catch me on SEC After Dark at Believe in Georgia Dogs as well. In addition to this show right here, you can catch my man, the professor himself, on Believe in Badgers, the fastest growing Big Ten show out there on the market. And then you can catch Josh Cook right here. And we're trying to talk him into Believe in Iowa, but he just won't do it.
I'm waiting to have a good co-host. And the co-host I want to have is Brian Ferentz. So I'm waiting for him to get fired.
Just go ahead and get your friend David Beatty. I know he has nothing to do with Iowa, but I think
he's going to be on my Believe in Kansas.
I think that'd be you could just do a Believe in like the Midlands.
Believe in tracks at the stadium.
Yeah,
they tore that thing up years ago.
It doesn't matter.
Potentially, we don't remember.
It doesn't matter.
No one actually knows.
That track will always be there in my mind.
It's at least there in spirit. Yep, exactly. All right. Well, that is where we're going to wrap it up here in spirit today on the Illegal Motion College Football Podcast, part of the Believe Podcast Network and Mike Farrell Sports. So on behalf of our own offensive coordinator, the coach, Corey Burton, here in Nashville, Tennessee, and our intrepid blogger from Big Ten and Counting, Josh Cook, up there in Chicago, Illinois, this is Matt Perkins saying so long and see you next time on the Illegal Motion College Football Podcast.
Thank you for listening to Believe. You can show support to your host by subscribing to the show and giving us a 5-star rating on your preferred platform. Check us out at Believe.com and search for BLEAV on YouTube.